Today's shiur and every shiur throughout the summer is sponsored by friends of Ben Yael Englander, Luz Kusser, Fuhr Shleima, for Zecharia Kalman, Ben Yael Margalit. We are in the middle of the sugya of Pas Akum. Basically what we've done until this point is we went through the Gemara on Daf Lamed Hem Beis at the bottom, we've gone through the Rishonim, and we dealt with the most fundamental questions, the questions of whether the Gzeir of Pas Akum was rescinded, or if it still exists, to what extent it exists, whether it was a Gzeir Meikara that was in Rav Tzibri Chon Lamabo, and therefore was an invalid Gzeir to begin with. We went through the Shitos of Rishonim on whether Pas Akum is still in full force or not, and we discussed in some detail how the Shulchan Aruch really paskins, based on how you have what seems to be a steer in the Shulchan Aruch from Sif Beis to Sif A, but La Halacha, bottom line is that we are definitely makel with Pas Palter to an extent. Shulchan Aruch says we're makel with Pas Palter only if there's no equally valuable or equally high quality Pas Yisrael. If there's no Pas Yisrael that matches the Pas Palter, then we can be makel and have the Pas Palter. So if your favorite bread in the entire world is made by a non-Jewish bakery, even though there are Jewish bakeries that make bread, but they don't make your favorite bread in the whole world, that's good enough. You don't have to have the Jewish bread in that situation. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskin and Simon Kuf Yud Beis, Se'if Hey. So definitely, while Pas Akum is not as serious an issue as it would first seem when you read the Mishnah, it is still an issue. It's still something that needs to be dealt with in Halacha. So two things I want to do today. First thing, two main things. First thing is, the Gemara at the end says, okay, let's assume there is this heter of Pas Palter, but that heter of Pas Palter is very limited in scope. The heter of Pas Palter that you can buy bread from a non-Jewish baker is only if, A, you're out in the sada, you're out in the field, you're not in the city, and or B, there's no Pas Yisrael, there's no Palter Yisrael available. There's no Jewish baker available to get bread from. The only available baker is a non-Jewish baker. And we pointed out, Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam assumes you need both of those requirements. It needs to be both out in the field and no Jewish baker available in order to warrant buying Pas Palter. Now the question is, let's assume you have both of those requirements. You're out in the field, all you have is non-Jewish bread to buy, there is no Jewish person you can buy bread from, so you buy bread from the non-Jew, totally mutter. Are you allowed to eat that bread? Absolutely yes. What if you then take some of that bread, go back home, your vacation's over, you go back into the city, you're now in Cedarhurst, and on Central Avenue there are five Jewish bakeries that you could theoretically go to at this point, but you still have some leftover bread from when you were out in the Sada and there was no Jewish bakery available. So what's the status of that bread? Does the bread now become usser, or does the bread remain mutter because when you bought it, it was mutter? And how would you lumdicize this, Shiloh? How would you say it in a more lumdish way? You'd
say that because the only reason it was mutter then is because of Chayin Yafesh, but now there's no concept of it.
Good. Would you say that when you're out in the field, it's not that it became mutter, it didn't really become mutter, it's just, it was a shas of chak, it was chayin nefesh, you had no choice, you need to eat bread. So Chazal said, we're going to allow it, we're going to allow you to violate this iser because of the circumstance. That's one side. What's the other side? What would be the other side, the way to argue the other way?
That once it was mutter, then we don't change it from going from...
Good, that it's not that Chazal telling you we allow you to do this issur because of your circumstance. Chazal telling you that because of this circumstance, that bread is totally mutter. They declare that it's almost like a din in the cheftza, that the bread itself is a cheftza of heter. It's totally mutter now. Now you could bring that bread into a different circumstance and it's still, once it has a chalos shem heter on it, once you already declared and you stamped the OU on the bread, right, you brand it with a shem heter, it remains mutter forever. Nothing is going to happen to it that's going to change it, short of, you know, having rubbing it with chazer schmelt. Nothing's going to happen to it that's actually going to make it treif. It's going to remain mutter. Those are the two tzadim. So the question is, what would you think pashut pshat? Which of those mahalchim is more logical to you, pashtus? Yeah,
the former.
Right. It would seem the logical thing to say is that it's a shasat chak. So we allow you to do this. There's definitely a gzera of Pas Akum. Pas Akum is a real gzera. It's an iser. It's a real legitimate iser. in a difficult circumstance, you have no choice, you have nothing, you have no way out, so we allow you to violate this issur in a difficult circumstance. That's the chora, what one would have assumed, min hastam. Now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kufyud Beis Siv Zayin, the first group of Mar Makomos in the packet is the Shulchan Aruch. So just run down to Siv Zayin. Says Shulchan Aruch, Pas Bal Habayis. If you buy pas from a non-Jew, regular guy, right? Not a baker. Asura Liolim. It remains Asur forever. Afilu Kana Palter Mimenu. Even if... we have extra Mar Makomos. Okay, afilu kana palter mimenu. Even if a baker buys it from the Baal HaBayis, meaning what do you have? You have a guy. There's a guy in Farakwe, I think, that makes challahs and sells them out of his house, right? So you have a guy that was in the Jewish Star or something a few months ago. So you have a guy who bakes but now let's take a non-Jewish guy bakes challahs to make some money, and he sells it to bakeries. So when the Jew buys it, the Jew's buying it from a bakery. Now, let's assume that a palter is mutter. You're allowed to buy from a palter. You're not allowed to buy from an individual, but you're allowed to buy from a bakery. So now, is this challah mutter? It was baked by a non-Jewish individual. You're purchasing it, not from the individual, but from a bakery. So says the Shulchan Aruch that it's going to be aser. Once it's baked by a non-Jewish individual, it remains aser forever. It's no change in circumstance, no transference of ownership on that bread is going to change the status of that bread. That bread is going to remain asir. Is that a raya? Necessarily? Now, it seems like a raya. Why does it seem like a raya? It sounds like you declare it, you stamp an OU on it, or don't stamp it. No, you either stamp a shame treif on it, or you stamp the shame kosher on it at some early stage, and then whatever happens to it later on, It's going to remain with that stamp on it, with that shame on it. Yeah.
But with past advice, I would assume that the reason that this happens is because that's the etzem of the bread itself, and that's part and parcel of the bread. The fact that the past palter is possibly mutter, that's a circumstance. It's not something that comes.
Very good. So there is a beautiful sefer called Seder Yaakov on Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's a two-volume sefer written by, my guess is someone named Yaakov. I have no idea. Written by somebody. Anyone know? I don't know. I didn't see the name. Didn't say the name here. Okay, Seder Yaakov, very nice sefer written by Talmud Chacham, who says as follows. He suggests that the Shulchan Aruch is not a raya at all. He says that the Eino Domel Mashkasav Shulchan Aruch, the Pas Palter, Pas Baal HaBayis, Talui B'Misha Afa'o. You can't compare this to what the Shulchan Aruch says, that look at who baked it, and whoever bakes it, that's when it gets declared as kosher or not kosher. Dimafo'o Baal HaBayis U'machor L'Palter, that if a Baal HaBayis baked it, even if he later sold it to a baker, it's still going to remain Aser. Why? Why is it not similar? Dekan L'Chora Talui Eifo Sha'ochel HaPas. Shalo gazru im ochel basada. Over here, what we're talking about are once you know that you have an issue of pas palter, there are heterim, there are exceptions to the rule. When you're discussing whether a palter or a Baal HaBayis made it, you're discussing whether the very beginnings of the gzeira. You're discussing whether this fits the gzeira at all. So in that situation, you're going to say, okay, is it included in the gzeira? Let's look at who baked it. If a Baal HaBayis baked it, it's included in the gzeira, there's no way out. But when you're discussing heterim, when you're discussing chayi nefesh situations, you're discussing circumstances that, for whatever reason, we're not worried about chasnus, situations where you might have a way out, that is totally on the achilas hapas, not on the making of the pas. Im yachnisenu li'ir, ein tamzeh. So the whole heter is that when you're eating the pas, you have no other options. Once you bring it into the city, you do have other options. V'chein l'inyini matzi palta yisol, tolim b'shas achila. These heterim that are mentioned at the end of the Gemara are heterim not on the etzem agzera. These are heterim that come later on. Yes, we have a gzera. Now we want to know, do we have an escape? Do we have an escape clause from the gzera? So we need to see, is there a Yisrael available or not a Yisrael available? Are you in the sod, are you in the ear? So in that situation, you could say, well, that's totally situational. Those exceptions are exceptions based on situations. But when you're dealing with the actual gezeira, the actual initiating of the gezeira, then you would have to look at who baked it and who didn't bake it. So he thinks that this line in Shulchan Aruch is not a raya at all. But there is a much clearer raya in Rishonim. If you look at the Mishmeres Habayis, which is the Rashba, in source number 21, says the Rashba, the Mishmeres Habayis. Right, there's a, when you learn Yoredeya, you know that the Rashba wrote a sefer called Torah Sabayis, and it was his own shitos, obviously, on issues relating to Yoredeya type of topics. The Ra'ah, I think it is, wrote a sefer called Bedek Habayis, which is a critique on the Rashba's Torah Sabayis, and the Rashba wrote a response to the critique called Mishmeres Habayis, right? The Bedek Habayis, I'm searching out your house and I'm going to find all the problems. And Mishmeres Habayis is, I'm going to get a security system on my house. I'm protecting my Torah Habayis that you're trying to infiltrate, right? So the Mishmeres Habayis is the Rashba's response to the response to a sefer. Good. So says the Mishmeres Habayis, Kol shelo haya sham paltar Yisrael b'shas afiyasu mutter. Anytime there was no Jewish baker there at the time that the non-Jewish bread was baked, it's mutter. V'imlokach mimenu Yisrael. V'acharkach higia sham paltar Yisrael. L'yatzar rishon me'atero. He says that it doesn't change based on circumstance. If you bought from a non-Jewish baker and there was no Jewish baker available, you had every right to buy from that non-Jewish baker, then even when a Jewish baker shows up, the bread you had previously bought remains 100% mutter. That's the Rashba. One second. Upas of the Galilim, eno kinevela. The pas of non-Jews, he tries to explain himself. Why is it that it remains mutter? Because the pas of non-Jews, he says, it's not like a nevela. It's not like an Isra d'Oraisa, where you have a treif animal, you have a nevela animal. Shenemar alav b'makam sakana mutter, where by a nevela, are you ever allowed to eat a nevela? Yes, if your life is in danger and the only way to save your life is to eat a nevela, so absolutely, you're allowed to eat a nevela. It's a lav d'oraisa, but you're allowed to do it to save your life. You're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save your life. You're allowed to do very serious yisurim to save your life. There's a famous discussion in the Ran. Misachs Yumer of Yosef Engel has this discussion in a piece on quantity versus quality in mitzvahs. This is a total aside, not really so connected. I'll just make mention of this, that Rav Yosef Engel discusses, the Ran discusses the following case. What if you have a person who's a cholesh yesh bo sakana? He's sick on Shabbos and he needs medicine. His medicine is red meat for whatever reason. He needs to eat red meat in order to get better. The only thing is, the only red meat that you have geshachted already, that's already shechted, is nevela. So you have two options. You can either feed him the nevela, save his life, or you can take a cow, shech the cow, and feed him a kosher animal. That will be shechter on Shabbos. But that will involve chil Shabbos. So which should you do? What do you think?
The non-kosher nevela, because there's so many more issues in shechting.
Good. Shech, not just more issues. In more issues, it's the level of the issur. When you eat nevela, is nisulav. It's a lo sase in the Torah. You're not allowed to eat nevela. Shabbos is nisul skila. Chayv skila for violating Shabbos. Right, so Pasha Pshat is, of course, you give him the nevela, not Shabbos. Says the Ran, well, it depends. If all he needs is one kazayas of nevela, so then you're right. Give him the nevela, don't be mechal Shabbos. But if, let's say, he needs to eat 10 kazayasim. So now, if he eats 10 kazayasim of nevela, how many averos will he have done? 10 averos. Each kazayas is a new avera. If you shech the cow, and he eats 10 kazayasim of the cow, how many averos were done? One, shechting the cow. Now it's one big aver, it's an Isra Skila, versus 10 smaller ones. So the Ran, I think, Peshem the Ravid says, when you have quality of a mitzvah, or an avera, very high level, severe avera, versus high quantity, so maybe the quantity can outweigh the quality, and you're going to say that the doing 10 lesser Yisroim is worse than doing one big Isra. So Rav Yosef Engel takes that, if you're familiar with Rav Yosef Engel's style of writing, he has a few svarim, it's like right up his alley. He takes like an idea, something that no one would ever discuss, quantity and quality in mitzvos. And he says, I wonder if there are marmakomos on this topic. And he says, I thought of 24 rayos. And he just takes you through Shas and Poskim. He's awesome. It's the Rav Shapta loves Rav Yosef Engel because they're like the same person. So, 24 rayos throughout all the Shas. So that the one we're all familiar with is probably when the Rambam talks about giving tzedakah, right? If you can give $100 of tzedakah, or you can give 99 single dollars to 99 different people, right? So is it better to do a higher quantity of mitzvahs or a more impactful quality of a mitzvah? Right, so that's okay. Anyway, but that's I don't know how I got into. I mentioned Nevela. That was a little off the cuff. Okay, so says the Mishmer Sabai. Someone had a question on that? No.
I have a question, John. Is it only when she does Shulchan Aruch and not the Ramah? The Ramah with it is a non-starter within the Ramah. No, whole question.
It's a non-starter within the Ramah. Why do you say that?
She says even if you're not from Israel.
Oh, yeah. Meaning based on, right. The Raman Sif Beis you're talking about. Right. Even when Pasyal is Matzu, it's totally Mutter. Yeah. This is non-starter within the Ramah. Correct. Yes.
I just want to clarify what he's referring to, the bread that has been previously bought, or just in general, all bread. As in, when you say that, let's say somebody bought the bread, and then the Jew came. Is it referring to the bread that was bought before the Jew came, or
it has to be, right?
Or is it talking about all bread in general from now on? Because as in the Isser is gone.
No, what do you mean? If the Jew came, now it's us to buy from the non-Jew.
That's what I was wondering. So
yeah, so it becomes worse. If the Jew comes, it makes it worse for future purchases. You're not allowed to buy from the non-Jew when the Jew is there, right? When there's a Jewish baker there. So it's definitely talking about only something that he's already purchased from the non-Jew before the Jew showed up. So he purchased it beheter. So now is he allowed to keep it, to eat it, even though the heter went away? Right? So the Rashba says, lo yatza rishon me'atero, it stays mutter. When the person is sick, person, Rachman Otzlan, is a chol sheyesh basakana, and he has to eat nevela in order to get better. So when he gets, so we order a whole bunch of, he has to eat treif, we order a whole bunch of cheeseburgers for him, because that's what he needs to get better. So he's got a stack of cheeseburgers, he eats a few of them, and he gets better. So we say, well, we ordered them already. We were allowed to order them when we ordered them. You know? Of course not. You're not going to let him just eat the cheeseburgers, just finish the rest of them off, because, hey, when we bought them, it was okay. You would never say such a thing. So why would we say it over here? Oh, when I bought the bread from the non-Jew, then it was okay. So granted, the circumstances changed, but it should still be okay. So the Rashba explains that it's not like nevela. If you have another alternative to the nevela, then whatever nevela you had remains aser. Shahasam isura da oraisa, and here's how he explains the chilik. Because over there it's an isur da oraisa, v'lo hutra ela b'makom pikuach nefesh. And it only became mutter because of pikuach nefesh. Therefore, ein kan pikuach nefesh, nistali kamatir. If pikuach nefesh goes away, the heter goes away. The chazar iser b'mkamon, you're back to the original iser. Aval pas, but contrast that with bread, she'eino nesar ela machmas ha'takana, which was only usher in the first place because of a takana, u'ksha'ein sham palter, hutar. And when there's no palter, it becomes mutter. Then we do alikaro. And they establish it back on the ikar. What does that mean? What's ikaro? Then we do alikaro. Hamidu al Ikaro sounds like, so we go back to the original situation. What original situation?
Prior to the
Takana. Before the Rabbanim came along and said that there's an Isser. Original situation means the Dinda Oraisa. Now it sounds from the Rashba, when you just read it like that, that what's his real, if you had to boil down his chilik to one point, what's the real chilik he's making between the Nevela case and the Pas case? Good. That's what it sounds like, right? That by Neveli says that it's an Issa d'Oraisa. By the Pas, it's not an Issa d'Oraisa. It's only Issa d'Rabbanan. Sounds like that would be the Chilek. Yeah?
It's just built into the Gezerah that this is now becomes the Mutter, and that's going
to
stand forever.
Ah, right. That's what you have to say in addition to just the Chilek between d'Oraisa and d'Rabbanan. Because d'Oraisa and d'Rabbanan doesn't really answer it. It only takes you halfway there. Meaning, the Doraisa, when you say Nevela is Doraisa, so that very well explains how if the Nevela becomes, if the situation arises that you no longer need the Nevela, of course it's going to be Aser again because it's an Issa Doraisa. It does not explain why an Issa Drabanan should just go away even when the situation no longer calls for violating the Issa Drabanan. You need to say something further. If Chazal say, you can eat chicken and milk because your life is in danger, so we're going to allow you to eat chicken and milk. We're going to allow you to violate Nisid Rabbanan of eating chicken and milk. So does that necessarily mean because it's only Nisid Rabbanan that if I'm no longer in danger, I'm still allowed to eat chicken and milk because it's a Drabbanan? Would the Rashba say that? He clearly can't just be a chiluk between Daraisa and Drabbanan, because he wouldn't allow this for any other Drabbanan. Any other time we allow the violation of a Drabbanan for some sort of circumstance, we don't say that even when the circumstance goes away, you're still allowed to violate the Yisrael Drabbanan. We would never do that, except for by Pas. So what is it about Pas? So what you have to say within the Rashba, what the Rashba is telling you, is that part of the Gezerah of Pas was that Pas is only going to be Aser when purchased under certain circumstances. But when purchased under circumstances where you had no other options, such Pas is not included in our Gezerah. The original Gezerah was never meant to include bread purchased from a non-Jewish baker when there was no other Jewish baker available and you were out in the field. Such bread is not included in the Gzeira. It's not that you have a circumstance where we're Matir and Yisr Drabanan. We're not being Matir and Yisr Drabanan. There is no Yisr Drabanan. The Yisr never gets off the ground in those situations. That's how you have to say the Rashba. That's what the Rashba must mean. That's Seder Yaakov explains the Rashba. I think it's Pashup Shad in the Rashba. That's what you have to say. That's just, there's no shame Yisr Bechlal. And he points out that one might get confused and say, oh, this relates to Hutra Dechuya. He says, it does not relate to Hutra Dechuya. You may hear discussions about, you know, sometimes people just like to throw out keywords, you know, everything. You just say, Chefza Gavri sounds smart, and then you have to see if it actually works. So people always like to say, oh, if they're, let me just explain what Hutra Dechuya is, just very basically. When you're allowed to eat Nevela because you're sick, so does that mean that eating Nevela becomes totally mutter, that it's total heter to eat Nevela? Or is it that, no, we're docha the iser, we're docha the iser away, but it's not that you're eating something that's really mutter to eat. You're eating something that's us, and we're just docha the iser away. Not when the mind of communion with something's hutra dechuya. Of communion is, do you have to eat as little as possible? Do you still have to try to look around for something better if it's not readily available, right? But he says this is not related to hutra dechuya, because even if you hold hutra, the Isra is still there, right? The Isra Nevela still exists. It's just that we're matirit for the circumstance. Circumstance goes away, the Isra Nevela is ready to pounce. It's ready to come back, right? Even if you hold Hutra. By Pas, it's that the Isra doesn't even get off the ground. It's that the Isra never exists in these situations. That's the unique character of the Isra of Pas. Okay, that was point number one I wanted to get to. Second point I wanted to get to is,
Is there any Isra buying the Pas, or is it just the eating that's the halakhic problem?
The eating is the halakhic problem, right. So why should it be totally on the time that you purchase it? It's a good question, right? Meaning...
there's no halakhic brand, there's nothing halakhic going on, meaning...
Right, I mean, it's certainly not an Isra No, where you're not allowed to buy and sell.
Right.
You are allowed to buy Pas Akum and sell it to a non-Jew or whatever. There's no, right, it's not an Isra on the buying. But nevertheless, when Chazal made this Gezerah, they said, we're going to declare Pas Akum to be when you buy it from a guy who, you know, and it's not a circumstance where you needed to. So that Pas is going to be Pas Akum, and that's what's Aser to eat. So that's how they defined what's Aser to eat, what's not Aser to eat. Now, all that was just, again, still in the lumdus of the background of the sugya. I want to spend at least the rest of tonight's shir, maybe a little bit or most of tomorrow's shir also, on the halach lemaisa ramifications of Pas Akum bizman hazeh. And tonight, I want to start with the following discussion. The Gemara talks about two things. It talks about two types of bread, pas palabayis and pas palter. Pas palabayis means you buy from a guy who happens to bake bread. Pas palter means you buy from a baker. A local bakery, the guy in Central Avenue. You walk into the store, he's selling it to make money, but you know exactly who he is. He's in the bakery. He's the guy in the bakery. There is a totally different circumstance nowadays. And that is, of course, the circumstance of a large corporation, a large company, where you have a company, a corporation, it's even more removed than the palter. Obviously, balabais is bad. Palter is a little better. So is there a separate category called corporation? That when you buy Wonder Bread, or whatever it is, you buy from a major corporation, you buy from Entenmann's, and you have no idea who's pushing the button on the machine that's making, you know, tens of thousands of donuts that look exactly the same, and you have no connection to it, does that mean that the whole sugya goes away? That we don't even have to start thinking about paspalter issues? L'may nafkamina, we're not worried about paspalter anyway. So the nafkamina is, A, for those poskim that say, you are worried about paspalter. The other nafkamina, seris mechuva, right? Because, well, maybe you can say, well, seris mechuva, you should be machmir anyway, even if maker didn't smutter. But what do we learn? That when it comes to seris mechuva, you dafka, you can't take on, well, you can't adraba, you can only take chumras, you can't take on things that halachically might be a real issue. So we need to know, is this a chumra or is this a halachic issue? Is this right? We need to identify it. So what is the issue with major factories? So I saw an article by Rabbi Jachter where he brings all these marmakomos and he basically lays out four fundamental heterim for factories. The first one will be a good, a couple of them will be a good segue into Bishul Akum, which is going to be our next major sugya, and it's going to be the biggest sugya we've done so far. The first heter he points out is from the Masorah Journal, the very first edition of the Masorah Journal. The Masorah Journal is a journal that's put out by the OU every year. Usually it's about half of it is Torah of Rav Soloveitchik that's written up by Rabbi Gnack and Rabbi Schechter anonymously. But it's obvious if you read it, and the other half is articles relating to kashrus from people who work in kashrus, usually people at the OU or other people. So that's the Masorah Journal. So in the very first edition of the Masorah Journal, on page Tzadi Dalid, which I didn't number my pages, but it's 1, 2, 3. It's the last of the pages in the Masorah Journal that are in the packet. It's right at the page before the Badei Ashul, the Kalkas Binyamin in the packet. The page before the page that looks like Mishnah Berurah. This one. So it says Tzadi Dalet on top. So this article, I don't have the beginning of the article here, but this article was written, it's an article by Rabbi Gnack, but he quotes a piece from Rav Nata Greenblatt. Rav Nata Greenblatt is one of the outstanding poskim and Talmidei Chachamim in America today, one of the lesser known outstanding poskim and Talmidei Chachamim, because if you would see him, you wouldn't know that you're walking, that you're in a room with godless. He's a little guy with a goatee and a gray hat with a feather in it kind of guy. Doesn't look like, doesn't wear the costume, but tremendous, tremendous goyin olam. Ravnata Greenblatt, he's the biggest Masader Gittin in the country also. He's like 90 years old, runs around the country doing Gittin all the time. He writes whenever there's a Hetamei Rabbanim, that someone, when you need a respectable Hetamei Rabbanim, Ravnata is the address, because he knows Evan Ezer backwards and forwards, as he knows most things backwards and forwards. So anyway, that's what happens when you're a rabbi in Memphis your whole life. People don't get to hear of you too much. People heard of his nephew more. Rav Ephraim Greenblatt wrote a whole bunch of tshuva sfarim, Rivvos Ephraim. So people know his nephew better. Rav Nata's a go nolan. Anyway, so his children live in Lawrence, I think. Talks about egg rolls. Yeah, exactly. So, Yesh Ladun Mahatir egg rolls. I hope you didn't spend too much time trying to figure out that word, right? Egg rolls elu me'isr bishul akum. Is egg rolls a problem of bishul akum? Dine kvar danu bali hora bedorsha avar. Kisha'olsa shelus hasardina mekadome lahatir. That it used to be back in Europe. Nowadays, not such a popular food anymore to eat sardines. Back in Europe, everyone ate sardines. And sardines were clearly cooked by the non-Jewish companies, by non-Jews. They couldn't eat them raw. It wasn't sushi, right? And everyone ate it. The whole world was makel. All the Gedolei Olam, all the Rosh Yeshivas ate it. So everyone tried to figure out what's the heter, because everyone does it. So mishum d'mitzias lo shayach bem gzeru d'chasnus, darim espashlim bebeis charoshes lai dekama v'kama po'alim enim yehudim. He says, it's not shayach to even make a gzeru of chasnus when it's a company that's making it. Because it's not even a baker. It's just a whole bunch of nameless employees working for some major corporation. And when you're eating them, you're in a totally different place, far away from where it's made. It's not like your local bake shop. It's made in Iowa somewhere, and somehow it gets shipped with the miracle of modern industrialization and everything. Somehow you're eating it 2 days later from, you know, when you buy it from your local supermarket. But you have no kesher whatsoever with the company that's making it. So that's what those people thought it was mutter hell. They held that you have no connection to the guy making it, so it should be no problem. And the people who thought it was aser held. No, the Chacham said Bishalakum is aser. Bishalakum is aser. I don't want to hear excuses, but I don't even know the guy. Right? What do we say? That Pasakum is aser mishum chasus. He might marry his daughter, right? And what if he doesn't have a daughter? We still basket it's aser. We're not going to look at each circumstance and say, oh, how likely is it that you're going to marry this guy's daughter? No, if a guy made it, it's usher. That's the end of the story. Now, the idea of lo plug rabbanon, he wants to be mechadesh as follows. What's the svara to be make love? That couldn't have been the svara. Could not have possibly been the svara. That it's lo plug, that it's because he's far away, you're never going to have a connection. Lo plug is too obvious a point over here. It's obvious you're going to say lo plug rabbanon. Because he's far away from me. So what's the limit of how far the bakery has to be from my house to make it mutter? If it's 3 miles from my house, then it becomes mutter. If I go to the bakery in Oceanside and not in the Five Towns, it's mutter. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. It can't just be a simple low plug. So what he suggests is as follows. Rav Netzer suggests, V'nira de lo shayich l'asr mishum lo plug, elo k'shahabishul hu ba'ofen haragil. He says, you're right. Low plug is definitely a svara. And it's definitely true over here. But that's only when the cooking or the baking for Pasakum was done in a normal way that a regular individual would bake or would cook. Begavna sheshayich sheyavoh lidei kiruv. Where it's at least a type of cooking or a type of baking that it would be possible to be bali dei kiruv, to come to some sort of relationship with the person. Sha'az afksha bishlu b'makom acher. So then you're going to say lo plug, even though he's 1,000 miles away, but he's baking the same way my local baker bakes, and therefore it's going to be lo plug, just like it's asur to buy from my local baker, it's going to be asur to buy from him 1,000 miles away, because they're doing the same thing. That's where you're going to say lo plug. Aval, ba'ofen shalanu, shemischamim im ha-beitzim al yidei mechona, but if they're using industrial machinery, where no local bakery in the world ever uses industrial machinery, where no balabais in the world would ever use such equipment. So anyone who bakes in this way or cooks in this way, by definition, is somebody who you can't have a relationship with. Because no one has this in their local bakeries, their local eateries. This is only in major companies. He says, in that situation, you're not going to say lo plug. Lo plug is on the same pu'ula, the same action of cooking or baking that you do locally, someone else does far away. We're going to say lo plug. It's going to be us or even for the guy who does it far away. But if he's doing it in a totally different surah, it's a totally different way of doing it, and the way that he's doing it is a way that you could never have a relationship with him, then we're not going to say lo plug rabban, then it's going to be mutter. Yeshlomer shein lesser mishum lo plug. And he says that was the heter of the sardines. Sardines were manufactured industrially, it wasn't done by a local guy, and it was done in a way that they couldn't do it, with canning it and whatever, with the steam cookers, things that people don't have in regular kitchens or even in restaurant kitchens. So in that way, it's going to be mutter. And then he says, "Kasafti ze liba skamas maran harav Moshe v'achar shekasafti krosi ze lefanav amar shenichtav karai." He says that I wrote this with the skamar of Rav Moshe. I read it to Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe must have been very old, it was at the time where he couldn't read himself anymore or write, so they had to read it to him. And Rav Moshe said that I said it all right, that that's correct. Rav Moshe was maskim this psak halach. Rav Natta was a very close talmud of Rav Moshe. Rav Natta tells the story that when he was learning in Tiferes Yerushalayim by Rav Moshe, so back in the 50s or 40s, whatever it was, in America, if you were really good, the mashkiach in Tiferes Yerushalayim would send you to Rav Aaron. He would send you to go to Lakewood to learn Rav Aaron Kotler. Rav Aaron Kotler was known as the biggest Lamdan of his generation. He was a super duper genius. So that's what Rav Nata says. He was sitting learning in Tiferes Yerushalayim, learning Rav Moshe, and he was learning pretty well. So the Mashgiach comes up and says, nope, time to go to Rav Aaron. Rav Nata said, and who says Rav Aaron is any greater than Rav Moshe is? And he said, like at that time in America, people didn't know who Rav Moshe was yet. He said it was like a tremendous chiddush to say something like that. He says, the Mashgiach looked at me like I just told him I was in the Keva. He says, he was just looking like I was from a different planet. Like, how could you say such a thing? So he says, I'm the first one that discovered Rav Moshe's godless in America. That's his claim. That's what he likes to say, is his claim for fame. I'm not agreeing with that. But anyway, so he was a very close talmid of Rav Moshe. So he said Rav Moshe was maskim to the Svara. So Svara number one to be makel in factory bread is that it's a totally different form of baking / cooking. And that form was never aser. That form where it's not even shaykh to be bali bekir was never going to be aser. You buy it, you don't buy it.
You could still say a little plug on that as well. You could say, oh, okay, fine, it's a different way, but it's still somebody making, non-Jewish person cooking on their
bacon. It's always a question. This is like by Cholavak, I don't think we discussed this. What if you have machines milking cows, which is any milk that you have is a machine milking a cow. Chacham or Gozer, you can't have a guy milking a cow. There never goes, you can't have a machine milking a cow. Now, they obviously could not have conceived of the possibility of a machine milking a cow, right? Nor did they conceive of a possibility of industrialization at the time that they made the Gezerah. So how do you view that? Do you view that as they made the Gezerah that you can't have, you know, stuff that comes from a non-Jew, or they made the Gezerah on non-Jewish baked stuff baked in an oven, milked by a non-Jew, but if it's a whole new way is developed that they couldn't have conceived of, maybe it's not included in their original Gezerah. This is going to come by Bishul Akum. Right? What about Bishul in a microwave? So Chacham could not have conceived of the idea of cooking something without heat. Microwave, I don't know if you realize, it's not hot in there. Right? It just makes them magic. I don't know. It makes the molecules go really fast or something, and it generates... There are stovetops like this now that aren't hot. That you put your hand down, it's not hot. But somehow it connects with the pot or whatever and it makes things happen and magic and it makes it cook. That's your physics lesson of the day. Right, so do you say that that's not included in the Gezerah Bishul Akum? They couldn't have conceived of it. So you're saying, no, that has to be included. They meant something that was cooked by a non-Jew. I don't care how they cooked it. Something that was baked by a non-Jew, however they managed to bake it. Right, you could say that, yeah?
Yeah, I thought he was saying over here more that... it's a combination of the two, meaning from the fact that there's no chashash anymore, plus you can't say little plug.
Well, you can only say the second point if you already have the first point. Meaning,
right,
he's saying, you're right. The fact that they come up with a new way of doing things alone, he would not be comfortable with. It has to be a new way of doing things for which they never would have been gozer. Meaning, he goes back in history and says, if the chacham were around, would they have been gozer in factories because of their daughters? Do you feel closer with the CEO of the Wonder Bread company, of the Entenmann's company, when you buy a pack of donuts? You definitely don't, I assume. I mean, you don't feel any connection at all. There's no ongoing relationship other than that you buy the donuts and you have no... Right? So what you're right. He is assuming, if you can go back in history, you know they never would have included this. And therefore, we can assume it's not meant to be included. So you're right, it's not the same as, let's say, machine milking or microwave cooking, because it's very likely, if you were to go back in history and say, would the Chacham Mevasard Bishul Akum, when they cook for you in a microwave, when they cook for you with one of those fancy stovetops, it's very likely that since it produces the same result, that they would have asked that as well. So that's, but what gives us the right to do that? Do we really have the right to go back in history and try to figure out what they would have and would not have been gozer?
It's not only going back in history, it's just that from the fact there's no plug and they weren't gozer, so are we going to extend it?
Ah, so you're saying it definitely, the default position is that it doesn't exist.
Right.
It's not that there's an isser against anything baked by a non-Jew, anything cooked by a non-Jew, and it's usser until proven mutter. There's an isser of things cooked by a non-Jew in an oven. You just really need to prove that, because that's...
I thought that's what he was saying.
I know, but I'm saying it's a tremendous chiddush to say that the isser was not things cooked by a non-Jew. The isser was things cooked by a non-Jew in a standard oven. And that's a major redefinition of the isser.
I think if hypothetically Baal Bais could have that machinery, that chassanus would still apply. So
a different argument against Rav Moshe, right? That It's not that they would have been gozer or going back in history or figuring it. None of that. Or a low plug. It's even within his svara, there are people that buy crazy things. You go into some people's kitchens in Lawrence, you'll find some industrial equipment there because they're very into their whatever it is. So they'll buy something that. I grew up in this neighborhood. You know, people have things that are like, you know, I have to have this, and it's just like it's a toy, it's a conversation piece or whatever. And they, it's possible. It's not like it's impossible. A guy can go on eBay and spend a few thousand dollars and get himself an industrial steam cooker. It's all. My mother's an interior designer. It's all the rage to get get industrial cooktops for people who eat out every night of the week. Right, it's something that happens all the time to get industrial grade things like that. That's something that people do. So it's not something it's impossible for someone to do. So you could argue that svara also. And who says just because it's not something that's normal for someone to have in their house that makes it not included in the gzera? Yeah, I hear that too.
What about somebody who owns stock in a company? If that's the case, then they do have the ability to get closer with. Whoever, some guy.
You have to own a lot of stock in the company to really have the ability to do anything.
I don't know.
But that's a different vart. I mean, that's your own business dealing. It's not as a result of eating it that you're getting closer. You know, only stock in the company, that happens to be a separate relationship. It's like, what if my next door neighbor is a guy, and I happen to, work with him, and he's also my coworker, so we carpool to work every day. So yeah, I'm going to have an ongoing relationship with him. But that has nothing to do with whether I eat his food or not. Right? The Isser is dafka on the relationship that comes about through food. Right?
And number two
is
that we said that the whole basis of the Isser is because of the fact that it's, I mean, the kana is because of the sada, and the reason that sada is because of chasnas. So isn't it that we've already defined this takana as a takana that is based off of chasnas? So that if chasnas doesn't come into play, then there's nothing wrong with it, even.
Well, we had machlokes rishonim how to understand sada. Is it that it's not going to create an ongoing relationship because it's a one-time thing, or is it more of a shas hadchak type of thing? Right. So you're assuming the former, like Rashi said. But even so, that's different.
Exactly. But even both ways, it would still seem okay, wouldn't it?
That what?
That this should still be something that.
Why it's not a shas hadchak? The fact that it's a company doesn't make it more of a shas hadchak for you to have to buy it. No, so that part wouldn't work, and even the ongoing relationship one, I don't think would work. It's a different type of heter. That's because it's so clearly going to be a one time thing. Over here, it's just that you're more removed from the person, but this is going to be every time you go to the supermarket, you'll buy intimates.
So a takeoff on his first question is, let's say you're the co-president or co-founder of Entenmann's. You're Jewish, the other co-president is not Jewish, and you have nothing to do with the business, you just stay at home and you reap the profits or whatever.
Is it Pasakum in the first place?
You're not, no, I'm asking,
okay.
Since you have the ability now to become, and within the food, can you eat Entenmann's if you're the same?
Yeah, I think that's I think it's the same answer. I think it's that's a different relationship. It happens. It's not a relationship that comes about through.
Are you allowed to eat that Entenmann's now?
Yeah. I think that's again. If you're allowed to eat, if you're always allowed to eat Entenmann's, then you're allowed to eat Entenmann's then too, right? And you are allowed to. Obviously, we paskin. Rav Vosner doesn't explain why, he just doesn't like it. He mentions the svara. And he says that Rav Vosner in Tshuvas Shevet Alevi says that he asked the Chazon Ish about it, and the Chazon Ish wasn't happy about it. He writes at the last two lines in source number 23, HaMekilim b'zeh somchanam tzvan al yisodam v'or b'ksas svarim shein maisa b'esach rosh shosim bar revavos l'rabim b'chal gzeres chasnos. The svar that if tens of thousands of employees are working in an Entenmann's factory, that's not going to be gzeres chasnos. I heard from the Chazon Ish to be machmir. He doesn't explain why the Chazon Ish was machmir. Just says he heard from the Chazon Ish to be machmir. The Chazon Ish was the one who was machmir in sardines. Every Litvish of Rosh Yeshiva would eat sardines. Chazon Ish was machmir not to eat the sardines. Not just because he didn't like them. He held it was aser. So the Chazon Ish wouldn't rely on this svara. Why not? So that's why we had this conversation just now, to throw out all the different svaras as to why not to rely on this svara. Any of them are possible. Okay. Next issue, next possible heter for the factory. Shulchan Aruch in Siftes, again toward the beginning of the packet, says Shulchan Aruch, Siftes. Hidlik ovid kochav matan or va'afa bo Yisrael. What if a non-Jew lights the oven and a Jew bakes in it? O shehidlik Yisrael va'afa ovid kochavim. Or the reverse. A Jew lights the oven and a non-Jew bakes in it. O shehidlik ovid kochavim va'afa ovid kochavim. Or even a non-Jew lights it, non-Jew bakes in it. Uba Yisrael v'niyara esh ma'at. And a Jew comes and stokes the fires a little bit. He shakes around the fire, makes the fire go a little more. Hareze mutter. Even if he throws in one piece of wood into the tanur, mutter. All the bread that you bake in that oven is mutter. So, why is this a heter for us? What does every single company that has a hashkacha on it have? A mashgiach. Now, we may not require the mashgiach to do all the baking, but how hard is it for the mashgiach to like turn the knob a little bit when he shows up? In fact, many mashgichim, on their own, without asking the kashrus agencies that they work for guidance on this, on their own will be machmir to do this. So, another possible heter for bread that comes from major companies is if it has a hashkacha on it, it's at least possible, at least likely, it's at least a suffix that the mashgiach at least did something. Now, nowadays, when it comes to bishulach, we're going to learn that what the OU does to, let's say they give hashkacha somewhere in Iowa, and they don't have anyone on staff there to be there every day to turn on the ovens, so they do it by computer from the OU offices in Manhattan. They type a code into the computer and it turns on the ovens in coolest thing ever. But that's how they would do it. So l'chora, they could do that with any of the bakeries also. But anyway, at least you have a suffix. I don't know when I buy my antimints if the mashkiach did something or didn't do something. And what do you have? If it's suffix, if it's a legitimate suffix, suffix drabanan l'kula l'chora. You could be mekel, because suffix drabanan. So that's another possible tzad l'hakel, that a Jew only needs to do a little bit. However, even this heter of the Shulchan Aruch, that a Jew only needs to do a little bit, you just need to throw in a little splinter into the fire or do something, is that something b'diavad is okay, or is that something even the Chachili you're supposed to do? So the Pashut reading of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's totally mutter. No, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, you know, if you did this, it's okay. He says, hareze mutter, it's okay, it's mutter. Sounds like it's even mutter l'chachila. However, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, for some reason, the Aruch HaShulchan takes a much stricter stance on this. The Aruch HaShulchan, source number 24, Yardeyah, Sim Kufi Beis, Sif Chav Zayin, about 5 lines before the end of the passage, V'nei kol eila heim kulos gedolos, v'rak b'shas hadchak yesh lismuch al zeh. He says, all these are major kulos, I'm not happy about them, you can only rely on them on a shas hadchak. Avil chachila tzorich achar me'agim la'mavur, Echad, it should be me'agim la'mavur b'gemara, dainu hesa katanur, ochsias ha'gachalim, olitana pasato katanur. The Gemara goes through 3 stages of baking. The Gemara says there are 3 major parts of the baking process. Major part number 1 of the baking process is firing up the oven. Major part number 2 is stoking the coals. Major part number 3 is actually putting the bread in the oven. Those are the 3 major parts of baking. Anything smaller than that, he says you shouldn't rely on. So, yes, you might have a suffix that the mashkiach in the factory did something tiny that the Shulchan Aruch says is okay, but the Aruch HaShulchan says it's really only b'diavet, not l'chadchila. The question is, where in the world does the Aruch HaShulchan get the idea that it's only b'diavet? It doesn't really seem to say anywhere that that's only b'diavet, that it's not l'chadchila. In fact, the Chelkas Binyamin, which I mentioned to you in the past, is like the Bible on Machal Yaakum. He's the go-to guy on Machal Yaakum, has several rayos that it's a din l'chadchila. He has how many rayos? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rayas that it's a din l'chachila, that it's not something that's only b'diavad. Raya number 1, he says, in the Bi'urim, it's on page Lamed Dalet, in the pages in the back in the Chelkas Binyamin, probably page 21 or so in your packets, I didn't really number my pages, on page Lamed Dalet, so at the very, very last line of page Lamed Dalet, in the Bi'urim section, he says, v'chein nira muchach, and he's, again, trying to prove that even l'chachila it's okay to have a Jew do even the tiniest little act, Muchach gam b'shulchan aruch kufei. It's muchach that way in the shulchan aruch. Midi irev din miktas melacha badi melacha gemura. He says, take a look at what the shulchan aruch says. Shulchan aruch says, what does a Jew need to do? Well, a Jew could turn on the fire, a Jew could stoke the coals, a Jew could throw in a splinter. How do you mention them all in the same breath if 2 of those things are l'chadchila and 1 of them is b'diavet? Shulchan Aruch should have said, what does a Jew do? Turns on the fire, stokes the coals, or puts the bread in the oven. The Dieved, even if he only threw in a splinter, did, that would be okay also. Shulchan Aruch, they're all in one breath. So Pashas Shulchan Aruch is definitely that it's mutter even l'chadchila. That's Raya number one. Raya number two. Ubi Yoser Muchach Kain on page Lamed Hay now. Mi Maidi Hishmet Lagamri B'Shulchorach Tzir De Malacha Gemur Shal Chitoi. Shulchorach doesn't even mention all three of the major malachos. He doesn't even mention the idea of stoking the coals. Lo Iskakim Chitoi Muat. He mentions doing a little bit, a little something. He doesn't even mention doing the real thing with the coals to make the coals heat up properly. He only mentions, like, you know, sticking a shovel in for a second. How does he leave out the Chitoy Gamur and only mention the Chitoy B'Miktsas? He says the fact that he leaves out the Chitoy Gamur and leaves and mentions the Chitoy B'Miktsas must tell you that there's no chiluk between the two. So he says that's riot number two, that it's even a din l'chadchila. Riot number three, Shulchan Aruch says, even if you only throw eitz echad l'toch hatanur, it's matir all the pas, it's matir all the bread. Sounds like we're talking about a case where you threw in a piece of wood and the oven's still going. And we're saying, yeah, you did enough, it's okay. It sounds like we're not only talking about where it's afterwards, where you have your bread, it's all baked, it's packaged, and you say, oh, I didn't really bake it, is that okay? I threw in one piece of wood, okay, but the oven, it's okay. No, it sounds like we're talking about a case, you threw in one piece of wood, kol ha-pas that's going to be baked, and that tanner is now mutter based on that piece of wood. Going to be baked means even if you haven't yet baked it. We say, okay, it's enough. Let the guy do the rest. Let the guy stick. But if it's only a din b'dieved, and you haven't yet baked the bread, what should we require you to do? You should have to go and do one of the malachos. You should have to go now and put all the bread in. That's raya number three, that it's even a din l'chadchila. Raya number four, he says, this was always the minug. Minug Yisrael Torah, the minug was always, all we do is a little bit. And that's, the minug is the strongest raya, probably. That's Raya, and he has a Raya from Tosos in Avodah Zarah Lamed Chasam Beis, that L'Chadchila, that was the Minog. So he's a little perplexed by the Aruch HaShulchan, why the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's only B'dieved. It seems clear in Shulchan Aruch that it's even a Din L'Chadchila. He's got five Rayas that it's a Din L'Chadchila. So it's a little bit strange that the Aruch HaShulchan holds it's a Din B'dieved. Pasha Pshad, it's a Din L'Chadchila. So that, the second Heter L'Chora works. Even if you don't like the first Heter, you don't like Rav Moshe Shita, you want to side with Chazon Ish, the second Heter, even though the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't like it, L'Chora, the second Heter works according to the Pasha Pshat of the Shulchan Aruch. The only problem is, you have to clarify the Metzius. Is that really true, that a significant number of Mashkichim in these factories actually do something in terms of the fire? Heter number three is that... How do they bake when they use machinery, when they use major machinery, industrial machinery? Forget about the fact that it's not something someone could have in their house. What's really doing the baking? Is a guy even doing the baking? The guy's pushing a button. So maybe the first thing that goes through, the first few loaves of bread that go through the machine, you could say the guy did that. What about stuff that comes out hours later? That wasn't even, you know... So that's what we would call a koach sheni, or grumma maybe. If you hold, it might or might not be grumma, if you hold that a time delay would make something indirect, so when a guy cooks something, I'll eat a grumma, in a very indirect way. Is that called that the guy cooked something? So Rabbi Jackson wants to bring a raya from matzahs and Pesach, machine matzahs. What were the problems Poskim had with using machine matzahs for matzahs? There are some people that are makbet only have machine matzahs. What? Yeah, Rav Yashav I think is Machbid, and Ravan Salvechik was Machbid, told me machine matzahs. I was talking to Rabbi Marcus, who runs the Kol, the YU Kol here in the afternoon. He's a grandson of Ravan Salvechik, and we were talking about the Shir Matzah, and like our numbers were way off until it dawned on us that he was just talking about machine matzahs because that's all he's ever had, and I was talking about hand matzahs because it's all I've ever had, you know, in terms of the thickness or whatever. But there are people that are makbet only have machine matzahs. But there were initially when machine matzahs came out, there were lots of tshuvas written saying why machine matzahs were the worst thing in the world. And one of the issues that was dealt with a lot in the poskim was that it was really chametz. Was that the machines when they first invented them were terrible. Nowadays the machines are much better than human beings. They're really good and you have no chashash of chametz. But it used to be there was like dough stuck in places for days at a time, and you know, so it was a real chashash chimutz. Some of the poskim say, I've never seen a machine, I can't paskin, I don't even know what it is, I don't know what it looks like. But one of the other issues was that you need the Shei Mitzvah's matzah. If you ever go visit a matzah bakery, that's all they're saying the whole time, is the Shei Matzah's Mitzvah, that they're doing it for the sake of, it has to be done the Shema. Is it called the Shema when you push a button? So maybe on the first thing that comes through, the first batch of matzahs to come through, but the second batch, is that still lishma that you pushed a button? That's the machine's making it. No one's doing it with kavana lishma. So Rabbi Jackson wanted to make such a tzushtel that when you talk about, he wanted to make such a comparison that when you talk about when you talk about, I don't know who knows the terms, it doesn't. When you talk about a guy making something in a factory, he's not making it; the machine's making it. Truly, it's not really a comparison at all. Because there's no din of lishma by Bishlakum. It's that the guy is providing you with a major service. And if it wasn't cooked before, and as a result of his actions it is cooked, he's provided you with that major service. Right? So mistama, that would not be a reliable heter. The final heter, and this is what we're going to discuss in much greater detail when we do Bishlakum, is that it could be that it's not olal shulchan malachim. When it comes to Bishlakum, there's a heter called Eino Olal Shulchan Malachim. Anything that wouldn't go on a king's table is not a problem of Bishlakum. It's mutter for Bishlakum. So that's why if a guy bakes or cooks something for you that's disgusting, that's not something that's a very respectable food, it's totally mutter. It's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. That was another one of the heterim with sardines. That sardines were not Olal Shulchan Malachim. What king would serve at a state dinner a can of sardines? Rav Soloveitchik held all canned foods, totally no problem with Bishlakum. Because who would serve canned food at a state dinner? For a major. So it could be that factory made bread would never be Olal Shulchan Malachim. The White House has their own baker on staff to bake fresh bread for all their dinners. There's no way they would ever serve factory made bread. So that's not Olal Shulchan Malachim. The only problem is two problems. A, you have to define what Olal Shulchan Malachim means. And we're going to get to this when we do Bishlakum. Does Olal Shulchan Malachim mean that it's not something that would be served at a state dinner? Or does it mean it's not something that a melech would eat? On the campaign trail, Barack Obama goes into some greasy burger joint in North Carolina and eats, you know, whatever. I mean, he would eat it. So that's what they say. They asked the Chazanish about sardines, and the Chazanish said, the King of England has sardines for breakfast too. Obviously, he held in Olal Shulchan Malachim means that the king would never eat it. It has to be something that's such a lowly food that the king would say, that's gross, I'm not going to touch it. You know, like four-day-old sushi or something. You know, like it's something that he just wouldn't go near it. Right? Maybe Olal Shulchan Malachim means something that's at a state dinner. The other issue that would have to be discussed in terms of Pasakum is, we know Olal Shulchan Malachim is a heter for Bishlakum. Is it a heter for Pasakum? Do all the heterim for Bishlakum necessarily apply to Pasakum? So maybe Be'ez Hashem will start with that tomorrow. We'll finish up Pasakum tomorrow, and then Be'ez Hashem will start Bishlakum. There will be a 10-minute halacha here for those who can stick around after Maariv. Yeah. Expect a small crowd tonight.